In his second year as Ohio's governor, Mike DeWine has been faced with a global pandemic that has killed more than 2,600 Ohioans and wrecked the state's economy. DeWine is also now trying to hold his state together while addressing large protests of police brutality in the wake of the killing of George Floyd. We interviewed Governor DeWine this week for more than an hour while he walked around his farm in Cedarville with his dog, Dolly. The goal was to nail him down on issues facing many Ohioans, such as what happens if there's a second wave of the coronavirus. How will he address racist police officers? Will he kneel with protesters? And where does he stand on endorsing President Trump? You can find the entire interview on dispatch.com. Keep listening to hear a portion of his answers.
Your early actions in dealing with the pandemic were hailed around the country as the right moves that save lives. But the coronavirus surge that was expected never happened. The models used by your administration in the early press conferences predicted there'd be about 10,000 cases a day at some point, but the state never came close to that. So the question is, did your decisions to shut down much of the economy and have Ohioans quarantine prevent the surge from happening? Or was it an overreaction that has now left the state in one of the worst financial crises in our history?
First of all, modeling, you know, is certainly not a perfect science, but it does assume certain things, and if you assume certain things, then there's a projection of what could happen. Those early models, you know, assumed no social distancing, assumed no change really in behavior. Ohioans dramatically changed what they were doing, and that has made a huge, huge difference. So we did not see the huge spikes. We did not see our hospitals filled up, and that's because Ohioans dramatically changed what they were doing. I guess that's my answer. I mean, we should look at this as success and not look at this as, oh, we didn't need to do anything, but we did do things.
Governor DeWine, if there is a second wave, will you handle things the same way you think? Will you shut down the economy abruptly like you did during this first wave?
Well, let me first say, before I try to answer that, that the most important thing Ohioans can do now for us to be able to live with the virus, which is what we have to do, is to continue social distancing. That's more difficult as people move about and get back into society and go out. But it's not impossible, and it's still very doable. So social distancing, now that people are moving around, you know, we've added the request that they wear masks when they're out in public. And the more the data is abundantly clear, you know, if those two things are done, you dramatically reduce the spread. The spread primarily is from one human being to another human being. And so the mask and the distance are vitally important. So, you know, I'm asking Ohioans, as I have, to do that because the virus is still very much out there.
Do you think they're hearing you, though, Governor? Do you think that message is getting through? When you go out in public, you see many settings where people are not social distancing and they're not wearing masks.
Look, I think that we always have to try, you know, for significant use of social distancing, significant use of people wearing masks. The jury, as we used to say when I was a prosecutor, is still out on this. We don't have a verdict. I don't think we can expect unanimous use of masks, but if we get the majority of people doing it, we will dramatically increase our ability to get through this and not have another huge spike. And getting back to your question, the thing that's going to slow our recovery could hold it in its tracks if people start seeing in their area more spikes, if they start getting scared and nervous. It won't matter what I order or the health department orders, people will back off. And so I look at this as the growth of the economy, rebound of the economy, is literally tied at the hips to how well we're doing in fighting the coronavirus. If we start losing that battle, the economy will not recover, and it won't matter what I work or what the health department. And I think that's what is sometimes missed in this discussion, that it is, you know, people, if they don't have confidence, they're not going to go out, they're not going to spend money, they're not going to do the different things. So that they have confidence, we've got to have, you know, some control over the spread. So, you know, we're working on, you know, in regard to your specific question, I'm not going to speculate about what we're going to do.
Hey, Governor, Dr. Acton became kind of a lightning rod on both sides of this, on the people who thought that Ohio was making the right moves, and then the other side who thought that the virus just wasn't that serious to warrant some of the things you were doing. I'm wondering, given the news that happened last week, if you have rethought at all about making her the face of the kind of medical response to this virus.
No. When I picked her to be my health director, I want someone who understood public health, had a passion for it. I wanted a doctor. I wanted someone who could talk to the people of the state of Ohio about public health issues. It was the right decision. She was the right person. We never had any idea when I picked her and when she accepted that we would be going through this coronavirus. But I think she performed, you know, she was excellent. She provided me with good counsel. To all those who are critics of Dr. Acton, you should be critics of Mike DeWine. You should focus your ire at Mike DeWine, because I make the decisions and the buck stops with me. I'm the governor. I'm the person who is elected. So to focus on someone who is appointed, who is simply, you know, trying to the best of their ability to report the medical situation and the health situation.
Hey, Governor, you've done a lot of, on your daily briefings, you've done a lot of trying to lift up the mental health of Ohioans, but wondered if you could let us into your mental health a little bit during this, and maybe talk about some of the roller coaster moments through this and how you've dealt with it mentally.
And have you been speaking to clergy, or who do you get your guidance from personally?
Well, Fran and I, you know, have a long relationship with Father Tom Hagen, who's a Catholic priest down in Haiti, who runs the Becky DeWine School in Haiti. We've known him now over 20 years. We first met him when he was just starting off with the school. So, you know, he does every Sunday, he does a Zoom mass, and he's got people from all over the country, people who he knows from, you know, different ways. And Fran and I have been, you know, participating on that. I certainly talk to him offline, so to speak, or off the Zoom mass as well. But look, my person, of course, I'm closest to is my wife, Fran. And so, you know, we talked a lot about this. And look, this is what I signed up for. This is what, didn't know we were going to have a COVID-19 crisis, but, you know, making decisions and trying to help guide the state along with the legislature is part of what I do and what I knew I was going to be doing. But these clearly are, you know, every decision we make, every significant decision we've made, every significant decision we continue to make has life or death consequences. And, yeah, that weighs on me, you know, very heavily. So, you know, and because my email is so prominent and cell phone, look, I hear directly from people. And, you know, I've had letters to start off, "You killed my father." So I'm not going to pretend to tell you that that does not impact me or that does not, you know, I feel it. These are life and death decisions. And with most of them, you're looking at two bad choices. You know, throughout this, none of these have been, oh, the decision might have been clear, but I always recognized that there were downsides to whatever we did. And what I had to measure is, if you don't make a decision, you are making a decision not to do anything. And so every time you're faced with a decision, these decisions when you're dealing with COVID-19 are life and death decisions. and are going to impact people's lives and impact people's family. So what I try to do is pick, you know, the best of the bad alternatives, and try to do things where we are saving lives, protecting lives, all the time knowing that whatever we do, whether you make a decision or don't, it is having consequences, and sometimes consequences that, you know, you can't totally predict.
Governor, would you ever consider kneeling in public at some point to show the black community you understand their message, and if not, why?
Look, I don't know the answer to that. You know, I think it depends on the context. You know, when it's important what the governor does, and it's important when the governor does something that, you know, something that's symbolic, that everyone understands what symbolism is. So that would be the criteria that I would follow. But, you know, I will tell you that I think when we looked at some of the interaction that took place in Ohio and across the country between police and protesters, you know, as far as police going after protesters going after police, and there being a good exchange conversation, or together doing something, we've had cases where together they march. I think those are all very, very, very positive things. And I applaud that working together and that symbolism. Symbols do matter.
Do you believe that there are racist cops in Ohio departments?
Sure. I mean, look, there are racist probably in every profession. You know, one of the reasons that we really emphasize implicit bias training when I was attorney general, and why I talked about the other day about, you know, when we look at police training, implicit bias is important. It's because many times people do not recognize their own biases. And so, yeah, sure, we have racist police officers, just like we have racist things with lawyers and racist anything else.
We thank you very much for the time.
Yes, thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. I'm an optimist. We're going to get through this not as fast as we want. We wish it was over. It's not. But, you know, it's an important thing for me on a personal basis. You know, as governor, the most important thing for me is for everybody to get through this. You know, as many people as we get through this, we want everybody to get through it. We know that can't happen, but we want more and more people to get through this and come out the other end, and so they can enjoy this, you know, this great state, and enjoy this great country, enjoy their family, see their kids, if it's depending on their age, see their kids grow up, or see their grandkids grow up, or their great grandkids come along. That's why I hope for every Ohio. And if we're careful, you know, we can do this.
Thank you, Governor.
Good talking with you.